All right, here we go. It is the end of July, and we're once again in studio for another sports chat. How's everyone doing? I'm producer John, as well with my friends Jacob Brettmiller and Matthew Kleinemaker.
Well, I'm doing fantastic. Of course, disappointing that the summer is over, just about over, but two words in football that you'll love to hear are training camp, and veterans have been on the field all week. Rookies have been on the field. It's been a couple little skirmishes that you don't love to see, but that happens every training camp. But it's on the way. It's underway. It's going. It's almost time for football season and for the kiddos to be back in school as well.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, that is for sure. By the way, breaking news, and I lost the story, which is unfortunate, but I just saw it on Instagram. But Logan Paul, the match has been delayed.
Oh, no, that was for Jake. That was for Jake. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Logan, I see you like on Instagram, was in like WWE. Like, those two are everywhere. But yeah, Jake Paul and his super legitimate boxing career. He had his fight delayed with Tommy Fury because of travel issues. Tommy Fury apparently couldn't get a visa. And now his fight with Haseem Rahman has been delayed because he wanted Haseem to drop, I think I read the story, is 15 pounds in a month. And Haseem did not do that. So that fight's been canceled. That seems perfectly legit.
Womp, womp, wah. And, and although this might be a little bit time sensitive because we're airing this on Sunday, but last night Tin Caps blew their lead by one. They like literally blew the lead in the bottom of the ninth because Peoria went up, you know, they were down, I think, yeah, two. And Tin Caps blew the lead. It's like, what the heck?
Well, they sent out Ethan Routson to try to get a six-out save, and he got the first out, to be fair to him. But then after that, a two-run shot that just crushed the Tin Caps. And if that's not really been a microcosm of their season, then I don't really know what is. Unfortunately, they get close in a lot of games, and you know they tease a good run, but unfortunately just can't finish it out. And unfortunately, Peoria is a team that they have to take more from. Hopefully they can close it out there today with a sweep, but with a split of the series, and hopefully take some momentum back to Parkview Field.
Even so, because the Tin Cats are going to take on the South Bend Cubs, but right now they're still going to take on the Chiefs one last time this afternoon at 2:35. As the other teams that are competing here, as I got from here, is that Great Lake Loons, they're going to be hanging down to East Lake, Ohio, to take on the Captains. Lansing, they're staying in Michigan again to take on the West Michigan Whitecaps. Chiefs will be skipping town to Dayton, Ohio to take on the Dragons. While Quad City Riverbands, they better watch out because this team is going to bite their way to competition. The Timber Rattlers, because those Riverbands better back off or they'll strike at them.
Well, speaking of needing a strike, you mentioned Dayton. What the heck happened to them? I mean, that team was playing better than anybody the first couple months of the season. Now, they're a long shot to make the playoffs at this rate. That seems incredible. But then Quad City is the reigning Midwest League champions. Hopeful that they can perhaps make a run, but it seems a bit tough as the Midwest League West Division is very stacked this year.
Well, with the Quad City Riverbands, they're not doing so good. But now we got Wisconsin has just got 50 wins. So I think that could be enough that they're probably now the next team to be in the playoffs. Isn't that right?
It would seem so. But behind Cedar Rapids, who seems to, I believe, has clinched the first half out there. Put money on because I don't bet like that. But Wisconsin, I think, would certainly have the inside track, it would look like. But that West Division has been stacked all year. It's been super competitive. Wouldn't rule anything out. There's still a few more weeks of baseball to be played here in the regular season before eventually the playoffs take shape. But only a four-team Midwest League playoff, so that certainly makes things interesting. There's going to be some good teams that don't make it this year. Hopefully the Tin Caps have one last surge in them, but it doesn't seem as though it's going to be enough at this rate. because they're going to have to rely on help in West Michigan stumbling and chaos seemingly ensuing. But ultimately, it does look as though it's going to be, obviously we know Great Lakes in the east, as well as Cedar Rapids in the west, but it looks like Wisconsin and West Michigan are going to take those last two spots as it stands.
And don't forget, Stop and Cuts could probably be one of them too, because they only got 53 wins, so they're doing very well in the regular season.
Indeed they are, and they're going to need to probably come into Fort Wayne and probably win at least four games of that series to give themselves the best chance possible, because you know the Tin Caps have been up and down all season, and we don't know what the Tin Caps are even going to have, because that's the big thing right now. As the MLB trade deadline approaches, there's been rumors that Robert Hassel III's name has come up in perhaps a trade that would send perhaps a number of Tin Caps to the Washington organization in exchange for the Nationals' is Juan Soto. So we don't know what the team is even going to look like next week, but they've been up and down as it stands. So South Bend's playoff chances, I would think, would largely hinge on them taking minimum four games at Parkview Field this upcoming week.
And that's the hope. And a bit of a random invite. I actually have Thursday night off again. So would you gentlemen like to join me for the Tin Caps game on Thursday night?
For sure.
Okay. All right. Two in?
Well, not for me, because I got to work on Thursday.
All right. Well, if you do get it off, the invite is open, Jake. The invite is open if you can get off. Anyways, yeah, so the South Bend Cubs are coming to Fort Wayne this week.
Yes, they are. And the Cubs are another team that could look quite different. I wouldn't think that the South Bend Cubs will be as affected. The Chicago Cubs are playing a lot better of late than what they have for that much of the season, but they're not really in the playoff mix, and they seem to be a team that's looking more so to sell at the trade deadline. They've already made one move, but now it looks as though Ian Happ and Wilson Contreras could be the next out. But the Cubs are another team that could perhaps look vastly different if they're able to accumulate minor league prospects, depending on what level. It's all certainly up in the air right now. It seems a bit crazy that we're talking about perhaps minor leaguers on the move, but that's just the way things stand right now. That's the way things have always been as they try to perhaps build for the future, and it looks as though the Cubs, their best prospects are to look ahead to the future.
Even so, because I just got word, because you said it's not the Chicago Cubs, because I heard that the Los Angeles Dodgers, they're trading a graduate from Northside to Chicago with someone who's from Bishop Dwenger.
Yeah, so it's a swap, I believe, of bullpen arms. Not really the trade I think most Cubs fans were necessarily thinking was coming, but ultimately this is a team that right now is, again, ironically playing rather well, but they have really struggled in the first half of the season and have put themselves in an untenable position. So now David Ross is trying to make some moves as here in the Cubs front office to try to upgrade perhaps for next season. And one would think the Cubs could perhaps compete next season. I wouldn't be so sure about them trading Wilson Contreras, at least right now. But it does look as though the Cubs are going to make some moves perhaps for the long-term future. And ultimately where those lead, we'll have to see. But of course, over the next week or so, the names relatively locally to watch, at least in Chicago, are again Contreras and Happ. In Fort Wayne, you know, guys like Hassel and Robert Gasser could be ones to watch. And of course, the big prize, so to speak, of this trade deadline, if a move can be negotiated, is Juan Soto, who has famously or notoriously, depending on your perspective, told Washington he's turned down a 15-year contract that would have kept him in the nation's capital in all likelihood for the rest of his career. He's turned that down, and now the team is reportedly looking to trade him while they still can. So a lot of craziness that could unfold here at the deadline.
Quite so, because right now our Chicago Cubs, they're still down in San Francisco, California, take on the Giants. And I got word that tomorrow we have a very hot ticket matchup. Two teams from California are going to battle against each other. The Los Angeles Dodgers versus, well, Barry Zito's team, the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah, Giants certainly could use some wins right now. Dodgers still looking impressive, still looking like they could be amongst the front runners in the NL. San Francisco perhaps needing wins here. Ultimately, though, I would rather watch that game than anything that the Oakland A's have to do, or the perhaps soon-to-be Las Vegas A's.
Well, to me, we also know the Yankees. They're doing a lot. They're doing a lot good in their regular season that they are doing right now.
They have been fantastic all season. The Bronx Bombers have been, and they continue to pour out Aaron Judge and Carlos Stanton. I had the chance to watch them in Chicago a few months ago. They didn't deliver quite the hitting spectacle that I think most were probably expecting. They still did win, however, on that day against Chicago. They've got a lot of power in their lineup, and that's going to certainly make pitching. You have to be selective. It's going to make it difficult against them because you can't really be too picky because they have one good hitter seemingly after the next.
Even so, but I just also remember something, you guys, because I think for all of our people here in the air, it should be a very special treat because I heard that Harlan is about to have another Harlan Day festival as well this week from August 4th to August 6th, I heard they're having.
It is festival season.
Yes, it is. And yes, Indiana State Fair going on. Three Rivers Festival just wrapped up a few weeks ago. And Harlan, not only stone's throw away from Fort Wayne. So for anybody in the Fort Wayne 260 area, for sure, try to head on out there. And a little late summer fun with the family before the yellow school buses start to roll here. I really hope that no kids have to go back tomorrow, but
even so, but there's also another special activity they're adding to this Harlan Fair. I heard that there's something doing a demo derby, and I think they're probably doing a demolition derby over at the fair.
Certainly be definitely a little bit different than what we're accustomed to seeing at any of our festivals here in Fort Wayne, but that'd be an attraction.
Yeah, that would be more interesting, but this is the first time in festival history we ever had a demolition derby in any festival or fairs we had in years.
Yeah. So that would be exciting to see. And again, what you said that kicks off August 4th?
Yes, to the 6th.
Okay, so you'll get a nice little weekend stretch. I believe that'll be on the weekend there. But a little 3-day stretch. Hopefully the weather holds up as well, and hopefully it holds up for this upcoming Tin Caps homestand here as the Caps are back for 6. Hopefully, I mean, we really can't beat what we've had the last week or so here in Fort Wayne. Just ironically, not as much has been happening here.
Ironically.
Quite so. And after our Tin Caps are done with the Giants, they're going to be skipping town again to take on. They're heading to St. Louis, Missouri to take on. Mike Franchini, the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, one of the all-time great rivalries in the history of professional baseball, Cubs-Cardinals. There at Busch, I think it's still called Busch Stadium, I think, down there in the shadows of the Gateway Arch, the Gateway to the West. The Cubs hopefully can start to build something. I mean, they still have more ball to go, and the Cubs have played very well of late. I keep saying that. The Cubs have been playing a lot better, and maybe a couple of good series will start to convince Cubs management that, hey, we should stick it out with the roster that we have unless there's an offer that just blows us away, quite frankly, for some of our star players. Let's keep this core intact and see where this winds up and maybe look to make a trade in the winter.
Even so, because we know the Cardinals are probably a 5-time World Series champions, they are.
Yeah, Cubs are not a 5-time World Series champion, at least unless they won some in the early, very formative years of organized professional baseball, that is. Of course, the Cubs had the 108-year drought that was historically snapped. Unless you're in Ohio and a fan of the Cleveland Guardians, you'd probably say it was notoriously snapped. They're a progressive field. The Cubs came back from 3-1 down to win in 7. But they've had to always look over on the other side of that Illinois-Missouri border and see that the Cardinals have seemingly always excelled, and the Cubs have had to try to mimic that. So, of course, it doesn't look like that's going to happen this season, but the Cubs have had that basically, I don't want to say living in their shadow, because I think they're overall probably a bigger franchise, but unfortunately they've had to live with that.
I'd say so, because even though the Cincinnati Reds, I got word that they're also going to be out of town again as they're heading down to Miami, Florida to take on the Marlins, while the Milwaukee Brewers, they're heading up to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to take on those Pirates.
Well, for starters, I've always heard that a lot of people that have been there have said PNC Park in Pittsburgh is a top-tier ballpark experience. In a lot of ways, it sounds very similar to what it is in Fort Wayne, where the batter's eye goes out to the downtown skyline, as well as you have the river there in the background. But, gotta say, playing in Miami, oh man, that must just be so difficult to spend a weekend or a couple of days down there in South Beach and play in an enclosed stadium, air-conditioned like they have down there in Miami. And also, they very rarely fill it, so it should be rather quiet and peaceful. But certainly big things there. Brewers perhaps needing to make a run right now against a very, very porous Pirates team, who is definitely a team that needs to look to sell as much as possible at the trade deadline and build for the future. Seems like they've been doing that for a few years now, but it just hasn't quite worked for those in Western Pennsylvania.
Even so, because I also got word about the raids that happened at Pocono. Denny Hamlin and Kyle Busch have been disqualified for the race at Pocono, and the winner of that race is that Pocono was for Chase Elliott, the son of Bill Elliott, who got his fourth pole position first time in the Dodge over 20 years ago.
Right. So, admittedly, I'm not the most avid fan of racing, and I did see Chase Elliott earlier in the week saying that he didn't really feel as though it was a win. What exactly happened there that led to that?
Well, my brother Dale did told me it was probably something about manufacturers or something like that.
Oh, I see. Okay. So, yeah, sounds like perhaps a post-race inspection kind of thing. Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't blame Chase Elliott for saying that he doesn't really feel like he won. You know, because it's sometimes, like, I know in the Olympics, if there's a positive drug test that happens later on, unless it's the case of this thing that happened in figure skating this past year's Olympics that didn't change anything. But a lot of the time what happens is they award the medals, and then, oh, if they find out later, then it's simply they strip the athlete that broke the rules of their medal, and then everybody else moves up a spot. I've heard a lot of athletes say that when they've gotten a gold medal because of that, or when they've gotten on the podium because of that, that it didn't really feel the same way because you're kind of handed that later on and you didn't feel like you won right then and there. So I'd imagine that's probably how he feels, albeit not quite to the same level as the Olympic Games, but you'd rather have that moment right then and there.
Even so, because today our races are here in Indiana right now as they're at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for the Road Course Brickyard 400.
Yeah, so down in Indianapolis, I'd imagine traffic, I should say, down around Indianapolis and the Speedway area, it's probably going to be a bit of a nightmare today, so maybe good to watch on TV if you're down in the Circle City. Perhaps find a good restaurant to go to, unless you have tickets. You know, it should be a very nice day. At least that's how it is here. I haven't checked the Indianapolis forecast for what is always one of the top-tier spectacles in racing at one of, if not the top, venues in motorsports.
Even so, Chase Elliott has been winning a lot of road course races that I've known, but to me, for my money, I think if Chase Elliott could win the Indianapolis Motor Speedway road course, because he's been winning a lot of them, but the only ones he has never won in his life was, the Sonoma Raceway he never won yet.
So, in Indianapolis right now, it is 78 degrees and partly cloudy skies, and partly cloudy conditions will continue through the day. It looks like the high will be in the mid-80s. So, perfect day.
Just put on a little bit of sunscreen and you can't beat that. I mean, that's just impossible. But kind of shifting gears, I want to get this in because I know it's a bit of a truncated show. But did you guys see the situation regarding Kyler Murray's contract earlier in the week? I don't even know what to say. So it was leaked that one of the provisions in his new contract requires that he watches 4 or more hours of film away from the team facility, which is simple, really, for a lot of NFL quarterbacks. They do that anyway. And Kyler signed that deal. Now he's come out and said that he feels as though he's been disrespected, and the Cardinals have actually rescinded that part of his contract. I couldn't let this show pass without mentioning that, that an NFL quarterback was seriously tasked with studying four or more hours of film independently and felt as though they were being disrespected. Four more hours a week on a deal they signed. I just cannot believe the situation the Cardinals have got themselves into with Kyler Murray. He signed. He still appears somewhat disgruntled. That's a team that has the capability to win now, even in a really talented NFC West. That is just, it's incredible to me how you could sign a contract and then a few days later say that you're disappointed by something that was in there, that you felt disrespected. And the Cardinals bowed to pressure. I couldn't believe it for something so mundane. That's just incredible. I just had to share.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Matthew. Yeah. You know, like, it's just mind-boggling.
It's been on my mind all week. And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't like something that's in a contract, don't sign it. And it's a big thing for the Cardinals because, to me, from an optics standpoint, it's horrible. Even if, like, you know it's not true, you basically said that your quarterback, your franchise quarterback that you just gave a boatload of money to, doesn't prepare as well as what you want him to each week. I never thought we'd see that with an NFL quarterback, and it makes you wonder how many more times that happens. It just doesn't get leaked to the press. A bizarre story, to say the least, out of Arizona, and not at all what the Cardinals need at this time as they're trying to chase, in their own division now, the reigning world champions, the Los Angeles Rams.
And also kind of shifting quickly to college football because, you know, like Matthew said, this is a kind of a time-cramped show, you know, due to scheduling conflicts. But one thing we wanted to mention is that kind of going to the Big Ten, you know, USC, you know, a couple of weeks ago, obviously, they are now part of the Big Ten. I have heard that the Big Ten are now looking at more Pac-12 schools.
I don't know so much about Pac-12 schools, but there's a certain independent school up in South Bend, Indiana, that is the major, major domino that, if that falls, could permanently change college athletics. And it's a scary time because I genuinely now think that if Notre Dame either goes to the SEC or the Big Ten, that at some point in the not too distant future, we will see the Big Ten and SEC ultimately break away from the NCAA and perhaps start their own thing. They maintain they won't, but it would be disastrous, I think, for college athletics if they did that. But we'll see ultimately what happens. I think the rest of the Pac-12 would stay in place and that they'll probably like to replenish their numbers by perhaps plucking teams away from the Mountain West or maybe seeing if BYU would be interested in changing their independent status.
Even so, because we still got college football season, and we also been knowing that Alabama, they'll be getting take on Utah State, but for the week after Thanksgiving, we will have the rival rap matchup with Auburn Tigers taking on Alabama and Purdue taking on the Hoosiers.
The Hoosiers. So,
Week 1.
So now, Matthew, kind of quickly going back to your statement on that one South Bend school, which, you know, yeah. I'm just going to, well, Matthew can either, you know, he could either like approve or deny the statement, but I know you're talking about Notre Dame. But are you for the change or like, are you for them being independent or are you against them?
I don't even think it matters at this rate. I want to see them in a conference because I'm tired of Notre Dame runs the table against teams that they scheduled on 3 years ago because they were good at the time, but they aren't good now. And they run the table and everybody thinks, okay, they have to get in. When they played teams that weren't very good, and then they get smacked in the college football playoff. Like, I don't want to see that anymore. And I know I'm from Indiana, and I'm people, you know, even if they're fans of Purdue or Indiana, supposedly change their tune. I'm not a fan of seeing games that just are not competitive when they should be. Of course, you can't control it when they're not, but why do we act surprised when even in the ACC, Clemson plays good teams just about every week? Alabama and the SEC plays good teams almost every week, unless they play Utah State. Why they're on the schedule, I don't know. I mean, even though Utah State's a decent team, but those teams play good teams week in and week out. They don't play 500 teams every week, and that's what Notre Dame has done. I want to see them get into a conference, and that way they play Clemson every year, or they play Alabama every year. They play Ohio State every year instead of just saying, okay, we beat Northwestern, or we beat Georgia Tech. Okay, like, play the good teams week in and week out, because we want to see, can Notre Dame actually stack up? We don't want to see that when they lose by four touchdowns in the college football playoff. Show in the regular season. Show if you really deserve to be there.
I agree. To end things today, a bit of a shameless plug. So, as we've alluded to before, Federated Media allows us to use this space to record and or go live in whatever studio we want to be in. Like, now, obviously counting, you know, as long as there's no one else using it, and if it's not reserved, you know. So, and we had our high school football meeting this past week, and so I'm proud to announce our own little Matthew Kleinberger producing and running the board during high school football season this year, but he'll also be doing the halftime show. Are you excited?
I am, and I have to thank you, John. You know, I wouldn't be in that spot without you, so I really, really appreciate that. And, yeah, I'm excited. We're about 3 weeks out, so
yeah.
Looking forward to a great season.
Yep, exactly. And if you're wondering where I'm going to be placed, well, you might be seeing me in the background. I might be going out to post-game broadcasts, setting up at Pizza Huts or wherever they need me. So, even though I might be not running the board, I mean, A, obviously it gives me a little bit more flexibility on Friday nights, but B, I'm not necessarily going anywhere. So, with that, everyone, have a great rest of your week, and football's coming up. We can't Woo! Wait to...
And don't forget, Thursday this week, we got the BattleBots Tournament of Champions coming up this week on Thursday.
We can't wait to talk about football, high school football, college football, and NFL football. All that's coming up in upcoming weeks of Sports Chat. We'll see you soon.